Indonesia reports a new record high in daily COVID-19 cases. We'll be joined by Vice Consul Jacqueline Arkiza of the Philippine Embassy in Jakarta for more on the coronavirus surge there. Meanwhile, Myanmar sets a new record for daily COVID-19 deaths. Retired Associate Justice Antonio Carpio's recent comments regarding the Aquino legal team that handled the arbitration case against China, sparking a word war. We'll get the side of retired Justice Carpio on the issue later on in the program. And in sports, the Milwaukee Bucks even up the NBA Finals. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Well, the Delta variant continues to ravage Indonesia. The country recorded its biggest daily increase in coronavirus infections Wednesday at 54,517. That's up more than tenfold since the start of June. 991 additional deaths were also reported. According to Indonesia's health minister, cases are rising at concerning rates in many areas outside the capital of Jakarta. One doctor warns the number of health workers is declining, with many of them also contracting the disease. The Indonesian government is already planning to provide booster shots to health workers who have been vaccinated with Sinovac.
A decrease in antibody for those who received full two doses of Sinovac as time goes along. Indonesia have received almost 18% of our general population, which are the target for vaccination, have received their first doses, which is very low in my opinion. We are not at our peak yet. Our trends is still going upwards.
Apart from the Delta variant, a religious celebration 2 months ago and complacency in following health protocols are also being blamed for the surge.
When I get out of the house to get some necessities, still there are people who do activities like usual. Yeah, people are crying. People are crying for help. I mean, they are sad, especially the low income people, because they have to stay at home, but they don't have income. So some of them still trying to sell on sidewalk. Yeah, they really hardest hit by the lockdown. Yeah.
Indonesia is the latest country to be added to the Philippines' travel ban list. That says Philippine officials try to ward off the more infectious Delta COVID-19 variant. Inbound travelers from Indonesia will be barred from entering the Philippines beginning July 16th until July 31st. But those already in transit will be let in, provided they undergo a 14-day quarantine. A current Philippine travel ban on 7 other countries, including India and the UAE, was also extended until the end of the month. Let's get an update now on the situation of Filipinos in Indonesia. Joining us now is the Vice Consul of the Philippine Embassy in Jakarta, Jacqueline Arkiza. Vice Consul, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today.
Good morning from Jakarta, Carmina. Thank you for having us.
How are you? How is the Filipino community there doing?
The Filipinos living in Indonesia, Carmina, are okay overall and are doing their best to cope with the situation and not to get sick. The embassy continues to provide consular services, although it is currently strictly by appointment in order for us to manage the number of people coming in to transact with us.
And recently, it's been reported that there were 5 deaths within the Filipino community, and that led to infecting 50 others. What numbers do we have now, Vice Consul?
Actually, Carmina, the COVID cases of Filipinos that the embassy has recorded number 57 so far since the start of the pandemic. The five deaths that you mentioned is since the 1st of July. And the total number of deaths from COVID of Filipinos, number 10 since the beginning of the pandemic last year.
And what is the embassy doing to help those afflicted with the disease or and those who need help?
The embassy is always open to Filipinos reaching out to us if they are infected with COVID, Carmina, and we extend any assistance that we can to them.
And when they do reach out, Vice Consul, what are their concerns? What help do they need?
Some of them are outside of Jakarta, and they reach out to the embassy for assistance in contacting their families back home, or perhaps in the cases of some companies, they would request the assistance of the embassy in arranging medical evacuations for their employees.
Mm-hmm. And how many have you helped? Tell us about the nature of those who have you've extended help to.
Part of the assistance of the embassy is arranging for the repatriation of remains of some of these Filipinos that have succumbed to COVID-19. And in addition, we also try to assist in disbursing funds from the Assistance to National Fund of the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Mm-hmm. Vice Consul, tell us about how difficult it is to, if it is at all difficult, to extend help to the members of our community there who are in need, given the grave situation there in Indonesia as we speak, Vice Consul.
Carmina, the Filipino community here in Indonesia is very close, and they are always coming together to assist along with the embassy in the challenges that the Filipinos afflicted with COVID face. And we are very thankful for their help because it is challenging for everyone at this time to cope with the situation.
Do we have the latest numbers as to how many are confined as we speak? How many are battling the disease? You said that it was 57, but is that a current active number?
The current active cases of Filipinos with COVID that we have, Carmina, is 13.
I'm sorry, it's 13 or 30?
It's 13.
Okay, 13. And these 13 individuals, are they confined in hospitals?
Yes, they are.
And would you know how they're doing? Are they in critical condition?
I don't have that information, Carmina, but we are in touch with the employers of these people.
Mm. We do know, Vice Consul, that they're is a travel ban now in place against those who are coming from Indonesia. Are there Filipinos who are wanting to come home?
Yes, Carmina. There are Filipinos that are wanting to go home. But it is understandable, of course, that the Philippines has banned travel from Indonesia. We will follow the announcement by Malacanang, but we will also inform Manila of developments as they evolve on the ground here.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a number to that? How many Filipinos want to come home?
There is actually a flight that is scheduled for the end of this month. And to my knowledge, over 100 Filipinos are booked on this flight, which will be affected by the travel ban from Indonesia.
And what's going to happen to them?
For our communications with the airline, they will be rebooked to a later flight, and we are in constant contact with the Filipinos here in Indonesia with regard to that.
And the main reason for them and wanting to come home is to flee from the surge that is happening there?
Not necessarily, Carmina. Some of them have had their contracts at their place of employment ending. So they are going home for that. Right.
On a personal note, how are you guys doing there? I remember when the surge was happening in India, we were in constant communication with the embassy there, and they were telling us how difficult it was for them as well. But what about there in the embassy of the Philippine embassy in Jakarta? How are you guys doing?
Thank you for that question, Carmina. We're doing fine here. We are addressing all the concerns from the Filipinos that are coming in. We have not interrupted the provision of consular services. And on a personal note, we are all okay here. And thankfully, no one this year has been infected with COVID.
Well, Vice Consul Arquiza, please continue to keep safe and please keep your line open, because we do want to get the latest from there. We do want to make sure that, you know, the Filipino community there is safe despite the surge that Indonesia is experiencing as we speak. Vice Consul Jacqueline Arquiza from the Philippine Embassy there in Jakarta, thanks again for joining us this afternoon. Keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina.
Well, still on the COVID-19 situation here in Southeast Asia, Myanmar suffers its most severe wave of infection so far. The military-ruled nation reported 7,089 new cases and 145 deaths Wednesday, both new records. Efforts to contain the virus have been hampered by daily protests against the junta, with health workers joining the movement as well. A spokesman for the military said they are doing all they could to ramp up health services, including opening up military hospitals to the public. Active cases in the Philippines dropped to a more than four-month low. That's after the health department confirmed over 6,000 new recoveries Wednesday. Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and Myanmar now have more active infections in Southeast Asia. But ABS-CBN's data analytics team says Filipinos should remain cautious. It notes the situation in the country is showing trends similar to that of Indonesia before it dealt with a fresh surge.
O kapag dyan sa 5,000 katinamaan ng surge, which is now made even worse by the presence nga ng mas nakakahawang Delta variant na talagang exponential, no? So yung increase mo from 5,000 ay hindi talaga maganda magiging resulta nito, no?
140 more patients also died. The Philippines' case fatality rate is currently 1.77%, the highest since March 31st. The chairman of the Metro Manila Development Authority expects the National Capital Region to remain under general community quarantine with some restrictions. MMDA Chairman Benhur Abelo says NCR mayors are still discussing what quarantine status they will recommend for the region. Abelo says they will base their recommendation on what experts from the health department will say. The current restrictions over Metro Manila are set to lapse today, July 15th. The Philippines hits 14 million, or the 14 million mark in COVID-19 vaccinations. That's according to Health Secretary Francisco Duque III. The new milestone comes just 2 days after the country was able to administer a record high 375,000 doses in a single day last July 13. So far, some 3.89 million Filipinos are now fully vaccinated against the virus. More jabs are also on the way, with over 250,000 doses of Moderna's vaccine expected to arrive later today. Quezon City has administered more than 1 million COVID-19 vaccine doses. More than 680,000 people have received their first jab, while 327,000 already got their second dose. That's around 40% of the city's target of 1.7 million. City officials remind those who are fully vaccinated to still follow health protocols. Over in Taguig City, officials have launched night vaccinations. From Monday to Saturday, the city's mega vaccination hub in Bonifacio High Street will stay open until midnight. Comedians and other performers have been hired to entertain those in line to get their jab. The city government says it is also looking into the possibility of opening a 24-hour vaccination hub. Philippine Senator Joel Villanueva says government should secure COVID-19 vaccine booster shots as early as now. He adds the country should look into making its own vaccine so as not to be at the mercy of foreign manufacturers when it comes to supply.
We have been hearing all of this, no, yung palakasan system and yung binebenta nga, etc. No? But masakit dito sa lahat pa rin yung hindi mabakunahan yung gustong magpabakuna. Uh-oh. We still have a problem of educating our people na meron pa rin talaga na ayaw magpabakuna. And then dun sa mga gustong magpabakuna, hindi naman sila mabakunahan.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, we'll talk with retired Supreme Court Associate Justice Antonio Carpio about the alleged infighting in the legal team that handled the Philippines' arbitration case against China. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. Still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Let's take another look at our headlines this noon. Indonesia reports a new record high in daily COVID-19 cases. The Philippine Embassy in Indonesia says 13 Filipinos are confined at hospitals there. Meanwhile, Myanmar sets a new record for daily COVID-19 deaths. Retired Associate Justice Antonio Carpio's recent comments regarding the Aquino legal team that handled the arbitration case against China, sparking a word war. And in sports, the Milwaukee Bucks even up the NBA Finals. Geospatial intelligence firm Simularity is standing by its report on the alleged dumping of human waste in the West Philippine Sea. This after Manila's Foreign Affairs Secretary Teodoro Locsin Jr. said it was fake. Defense Chief Delphine Lorenzana also cast a doubt on that report. But Simularity asserts the images and algorithm used to identify the presence of chlorophylla or make that chlorophyll in the waters are well-researched and validated. It also calls on the Philippine government to validate its findings. Chinese ships are allegedly behind the dumping of human waste in Philippine waters. Until then, Malacanang says the Philippines is giving China a presumption of good faith.
Nung na-verify naman po natin na nag-export ng basura ang Canada sa atin, pinabalik natin ang basura natin sa Canada. No ifs, no buts. So matagal na po tayo naninindigan na hindi basurahan at syempre hindi kubeta ang Pilipinas. E tignan muna natin kung merong katotohanan dahil kung wala naman, di tayo mapapahiya.
Some Filipino fishermen claim they were still unable to fish in Scarborough Shoal because of China's continued aggression. In the special report, Willard Chang gives us a look at how President Duterte's supposed independent foreign policy has failed to assert the rights of Filipino fishermen over the West Philippine Sea.
Filipino fisherfolk from Zambales still could not fish freely in Bajo de Basinloc or Scarborough Shoal, despite an assurance made by President Rodrigo Duterte in his 2018 State of the Nation address. Because of closer ties with China during his administration.
Our improved relationship with China, however, does not mean that we will waver in our commitment to defend our interests in the West Philippine Sea. Opening lines of communication and amicably managing differences have led to positive developments that include renewed access of Filipino fishermen to the areas in dispute in the Philippines, West Philippine Sea.
3 years since, Filipino fishermen like Ronnie Drio say not much has changed.
Ayaw na kaming papasokin doon sa loob, sa labas, kasi maalon sa labas, kung minsan maalon. Gusto namin papasok sa loob, hindi kami papasokin ng China. Malaking epekto sa pagkuha namin ng isda. Imbis na makapangita kami ng maganda sa loob, dapat makuha namin ng mga 100 kilo sa isang araw, ngayon kalahati na lang.
They are especially dismayed since the Permanent Court of Arbitration in 2016 reaffirmed the right of Filipinos to fish in Bajo de Masinloc, considered as a traditional fishing ground not only of Filipinos but also of fishermen from China and other countries. The court said China violated the traditional fishing rights of Filipino fishermen when it first stopped access to the shoal after the 2012 standoff in Scarborough.
Parang hindi po nakikita yung panalo natin, atin ang Scarborough.
Pinapasok na po tayo ng ibang bansa. Sali po tayo ang nakikinabang sa ating bansa. Napupunta po sa iba.
Sa mga mangisda, kayo po ay nagtatamasa ng resulta ng bagong independyenteng panglabas na relasyon ng ating presidente. Kung sa dating administrasyon, di kayo nakapaghanap buhay, ngayon po nakapaghanap buhay na kayo.
President Duterte had vowed to pursue an independent foreign policy, a policy which, in fact, the 1987 Philippine Constitution exhorts the state to pursue.
Our long-term national development and national security goals come first. We shall continue to reach out to all nations regardless of their prevailing political persuasions or proximity to or distance from our shore, so long as this nation wish us well.
But maritime law expert Jay Batong Bakal points out, Duterte has been too yielding to China.
Naging mas vulnerable tayo sa impluensya, lalo na ng China. No? Dahil dun sa economic at saka mga iba pang dahilan. No? Pinaka-senyales na hindi tayo ganun ka-independent ay tuwing nadidinig natin sa bibig ng Pangulo o kaya ng mga ibang leaders ng government na either wala tayong magagawa or mag-ingat tayo dahil malakas yung kabila. So yun yung mas malinaw na sa akin yun, pamantayan yun, na para masabi natin kung talagang independent tayo.
The president's changing rhetoric when it comes to the arbitral award did not help.
So what can we do? We have to go to war. And I cannot afford it. Maybe some other president can, but I cannot. Inutil ako dyan, sabihin ko sa inyo.
The award is now part of international law. Beyond compromise and beyond the reach of passing governments to dilute, diminish, or abandon. We firmly reject attempts to undermine it.
Pinurso ko. Walang nangyari. Ang papel lang yan. Itatapong ko yan sa waste basket.
This is Philippine Coast Guard. BRP Cabra MRRV 4409. You are within Philippine Exclusive Economic Zone. You are requested to provide the following. Name of vessel. Intention. Last and next port of call. On Channel 16.
Still, this year saw a step up in the Philippines' maritime patrols in the West Philippine Sea, with the Philippine Coast Guard even managing to shoo away Chinese maritime militia vessels, as well as fishing vessels from China and Vietnam. The Chinese massing up at Julian Felipe Reef triggered strong protests from Foreign Affairs Secretary Teodoro Loxin Jr. and Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana, telling China to get out of Philippine waters. When it comes to America, Mr. Duterte has thrice suspended the cancellation of the Visiting Forces Agreement. The first time he did in 2020, the president cited political and other developments in the region.
Kita naman natin na hindi totoo yung mga pinagsasabi nila noon na oras na pumalag tayo, gigirahin tayo. Nakailang beses na tayong nagpaalis ng mga Chinese vessel sa EEZ. Wala naman nangyayari, di ba? So yun yung isa pang malinaw na palatandaan na yung polisiya nga na ng pagiging masyadong mapagbigay sa China ay hindi rin naman na nagdulot ng malaking benepisyo.
Secretary Loxin says the president's foreign policy is a work in progress as circumstances change every day. But Loxin says one thing is sure. The North Star remains the Philippine sovereign independence, unimpeded and uncontrolled right to chart its own destination. Meantime, fisherfolk in Zambales who rely on the sea for a living have one appeal to the president to follow through on his vow to look after their interest. Willard Cheng, ABS-CBN News.
Well, earlier this week, former Solicitor General and retired Supreme Court Associate Justice Francis Hardilesa slammed another retired Justice, Antonio Carpio, for allegedly trying to tarnish the legacy of the late President Noynoy Aquino. Hardilesa refuted Carpio's claim there were cracks in Aquino's legal team in handling the maritime dispute with China during his term. We'll get the side now of retired Supreme Court Associate Justice Antonio Carpio. Justice, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Carmina.
All right. So the fifth anniversary of the arbitral award, that came and went, but the bickering remains. You said you only wanted to show how hard fought that arbitral award was, but according to Justice Francis Hardilesa, you were spreading untruths. And in doing so, you have blackened the legacy of former President Noynoy Aquino. What is your answer to that?
Well, actually, what I wrote was published already, mostly in the book of Marites Bitog. And Marites Bitog interviewed President Aquino in the presence of Ambassador Del Rosario. And this interview was taped. And most of what I wrote appeared in the book of Marites in 2017. And Marites gave a copy of his book to President Aquino. And Aquino, President Aquino, read it. That was 4 years ago, and he never complained. If he did not agree with what Marites wrote, he should have complained. He never complained.
Yeah, but this is now between you and just the former Justice Francis Hardiles and also the other members of the legal team, including former Solicitor General Florian Hilbay.
But what I wrote is the truth. And this was affirmed by Paul Reichler, the lead counsel, and the other day affirmed also by Secretary Del Rosario, Ambassador Del Rosario. And it's really the truth. What they're saying is a complete fabrication. Paul Reichler said what Hilbay is saying is a complete fabrication. Secretary Del Rosario said, yes, it's a complete fabrication. And I affirm that personally. It's a complete fabrication.
Why is it important, Justice Carpio, for people to know about this inside story?
Because
will it take away from the win?
There is a lesson here. The president said, because our lawyer wanted 15 paragraphs to be included in the memorial. Mm-hmm. And Secretary Ochoa and then OSG General Hardilesa wanted it removed. And of course, I supported Paul Reichler. Ambassador Del Rosario supported Paul Reichler. And the president finally said, okay, retain those 15 paragraphs. Because they were crucial to determine jurisdiction. Because if the court doesn't have jurisdiction, they will dismiss the case. Mm-hmm. And we will lose. So it was very important that those 15 paragraphs be retained to explain why the court has jurisdiction, the tribunal has jurisdiction.
Okay.
And so the president made a decision, include those 15 paragraphs. When he said include those 15 paragraphs, that means the tribunal can ask questions from our counsel on those 15 paragraphs. That's the consequence. Otherwise, why put it there? Mm-hmm. And what did Hilbay do? First, he told me he will instruct Reichler to inform the tribunal not to rule on Ituhaba.
Yeah.
And that
Justice Carpio, these 15 paragraphs included the issue of Ituhaba.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
So when he said that, I immediately knew that will mean the dismissal of the case. Because you're going to the court and say, these are my complaints. And then you tell the court, do not rule on this. So the court will throw you out because you cannot tell the court, don't rule on a matter involving jurisdiction. They'll throw you out the case.
Okay.
So he did not send that instruction to Reichler. However, at the last hearing, he sent an email to Reichler not to answer the questions of the tribunal on Ituaba. It's like telling, you know, that's countermanding what President Aquino said. Include those 15 paragraphs, but he resealed by saying, don't answer questions on the 15 paragraph. That's countermanding.
Let's get into this.
And that's why the entire team rebelled. They said, we cannot do this. We will lose the case.
Okay. You're saying former Solicitor General Florian Hilbay informed you that they will formally inform the arbitral tribunal not to rule on Ituaba. But according to Justice Francis Hardelesa, the plan was not to amend to include Ituaba because it was too risky.
No, that was before. Their first opposition was the 15 paragraphs should not be included. But Aquino said include. After it was included, Hilbay comes to me. He will instruct Paul to tell that tribunal not to rule on Ituaba. This was subsequent. And I said, if you do that, I will fight you. I will go around the country to denounce you.
Yeah.
Because I knew the tribunal will throw away the case. So he did not send that instruction because they lost on the first ground, whether to include or not, the 15 paragraphs. Once they lost, they thought of another way. They will inform the tribunal not to rule. I said, you cannot do that. I'm going to fight you. They did not send it. On that last hearing, they suddenly emailed Reichler, said, do not answer the questions of the tribunal. It's the same. If you don't answer, the tribunal will get mad. That's why the entire team, lawyers, rebelled. They said, our reputation is at stake. Everybody will know we threw away the case. And over dinner that after the first day, he said, we would have gone against his instruction because that would mean the case will be dismissed against the Philippines, to the detriment of the Philippines. We cannot allow that.
Now, here's what Justice Hardelesa told me a couple of days back. He said, number one, there was no mention at all of Ituaba from the very beginning. It just happened belatedly. And when it did, when they talked about it, when it talked about amending it, they were discussing amongst themselves and saying, what would be your justification in amending it? It cannot be because you forgot about it. So therefore, if you include it, it would have been too risky, aside from the fact that Chinese Taipei possesses Ituaba. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first
of
all,
is that accurate?
No, that's wrong. Absolutely wrong. Because the statement of claim when we filed our petition, it says we have a full exclusive economic zone. That means there is no overlapping exclusive economic zones from China. That was the implication. And that was really sufficient already. That was enough so that the tribunal knew that we were claiming a full and there are no overlapping. But the propagandist of China said, oh, you're very ingenious. You don't mention the specific islands like Ituaba, which are large.
Yeah.
So our team, being good lawyers, they wanted to cover all the bases. They said, okay, we can amend if they want to discuss that. But it's already included. So they just wanted to be play safe because you are now dealing with sovereign rights.
Correct.
Sovereign rights, once you lose them forever. You cannot buy sovereign rights in the stock market or in the open market. If you lose it, we lose it forever. No Filipino will ever enjoy those sovereign rights. So they were very careful. And it's a good practice for a lawyer. You don't lose anything anyway. You amend.
Yeah.
So, but they were opposed by Hardelesa et al. So, when they were here in Malacanang, because they came here to explain to the president, and they stayed 4 hours waiting for the president to come out. And the president did not come out. And later on, when Marites interviewed the president, why did you not face the lawyers? They came here just to discuss with you. Said, nobody told me.
Oh. But well, the explanation then, of...
But then, But then this was the tape. This was the interview of Marites with the president. And this is what the president said. Nobody told me. But Ochoa told the Reichler, he just met Reichler for less than 5 minutes. Yeah. The president said, do not include Ito Abba. How could he say that the president instructed not to include Ito Abba, not to include those, to delete, not to include Ito Abba in the amendment, when the president didn't know that the lawyers were there? Why would the president give that instruction? So I have doubts whether the president really gave that instruction. And so when that evening, I invited all the American lawyers for dinner, and even Hardy Lessa was there. And I discussed with Reichler, what will you do now? And he said, I think I can swing it. I will discuss Ito Abba extensively in the memorial. Those were the 15 paragraphs. He said, well, let's hope you can swing it. And Hardy Lessa was there, very quiet. He didn't talk. And when the 15 paragraphs arrived, the draft, they wanted it out. So we said, that's why I wrote a memo to be given to the president, that we have to include those 15 paragraphs. And the president said, okay, include. But then they made another move. They would inform the tribunal not to rule. And I opposed it. Finally, their last ace was to email the lawyers, do not answer questions on Ito Abba. So they were really stopping, because everybody knew, the lawyer said, if you don't answer questions from the tribunal, we will lose.
But then eventually, though.
Which means eventually the tribunal said, this is the ruling of the tribunal, that when the Philippines claimed a full EEZ, it already implies.
Correct.
That all there are no islands there with a. That can be claimed by China to have an overlap. So Reichler was correct from the very start, but he just wanted to play safe. He wanted to amend to play safe. And I don't blame him. That's the hallmark of a good lawyer. Yeah. You want to cover all the bases.
But wasn't it also, wasn't Hardy Lessa and Florine Hilbay also correct in not putting Ito Abba out there? Because it was already implied to begin with. To put it out there, to be explicit about it.
No, everybody knew. No, everybody knew Ito Abba was the biggest. And because China made a reservation, in case of overlapping EEZ, they will not be subject to compulsory arbitration. So it becomes jurisdictional that there are no islands in the spread list that generate an EEZ. And the biggest island is Ito Abba. So everybody knew that question will arise. Reichler wanted to come out forthright about it. Let's be candid about it. Let's discuss Ito Abba, because this will be asked anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So fast forward to today, Justice Carpio. Mr. Hilbay also said that his goal then was simply to help win the case and discharge the burden he was forced to assume. This is his words. His goal was not to win the case and strike a deal with China, which is what he is sort of implying that you want to do at this point.
Yes.
Do you want to cut a deal with China, Justice Carpio?
He did not only accuse me of cutting a deal. He accused our American lawyers. He accused also Secretary Del Rosario. The American lawyers said that's a complete fabrication. They never wanted to discuss Ito Abba. Why? Because one, joint development under Chinese term is that they own the sovereign rights. They own the territory. So why will you discuss joint development if that is the premise of China? Second, if we talk of joint development, you accept that there are overlapping exclusive economic zones, because that's the solution. If there are overlapping exclusive economic zones, the solution is joint development. But the moment you accept that, the tribunal will have no jurisdiction. Because if there are overlapping exclusive economic zones, the tribunal will say we don't have jurisdiction. So we veered away from joint development talk until after we won the case. When we won the case, okay, we can talk about cooperation agreement. Because Shell is a foreign company, they get the gas in Malampaya. Chevron is a foreign company, they get the gas. We offer other companies from the country service contracts. So I said, China, we offer them a service contract. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, when China proposed joint development to Secretary Loxin, what Secretary Loxin did was to make a counter offer, not joint development. He made a counter offer, cooperation arrangement. That's why in the MOU that was signed, there is no word at all of joint development, but you see the word cooperation arrangement. Joint development means China has the sovereign rights. Cooperation arrangement means Philippines has the sovereign rights. Mm. That's the difference. And what was placed there in the MOU was cooperation arrangement. Now, China, because you have the MOU, you signed the TOR to implement the MOU, and the last step was supposed to be an agreement between Sinopec, China National Oil Company, and Forum Energy, a commercial agreement. But at that point, China said, we will delete that provision that Philippine law governs and that Philippine has sovereign rights. Of course, we will never agree.
Right.
And that's where we are now.
But Mr. Hilbay posed this question, Justice Carpio. He's asking, does it make sense? Does it make sense to enter into a deal with a country that has disrespected us, caused irreparable damage to our marine environment and economy, and inflicted humiliation and even death? Does it make sense?
Makes sense. If they accept our premise that we own the gas, because that will mean acceptance of the arbitral tribunal's ruling. So I said, we can accept that because that is acceptance of the award. That will end the dispute. Why won't you accept it? China will be, in effect, agreeing with the award. We've solved the problem.
Final two questions for you, Justice Carpio, because you're running out of time. You also said in previous interviews that the next step now is really to bring this issue, bring this matter before the UN General Assembly. But here's the thing. The palace has said there is no need to litigate a case that's been already won. Also remember, I think it was last year when Secretary Roque said, money talks in politics, and that's the way it is even in international relations. So we cannot go to the Security Council because China has veto power. What are your thoughts on that?
We are not going to the Security Council. We are going to the General Assembly. China has no veto power in the General Assembly. That's very clear. Now, why are we relitigating? We are not relitigating. When you go to the General Assembly, you're asking for a resolution that is not legally binding. You're asking for an expression of opinion of the world on this issue. So when you go to the General Assembly, you want the world to vote. Does the world want China to abide by international law? Yes or no? Does the world want China to abide with the ruling of the arbitral tribunal? Yes or no? It is not relitigating. It is asking the world for their opinion because we need the support of the world. That is what Nicaragua did. They won in the ICJ. The U.S. refused to abide, to implement the decision. Nicaragua could not go to the Security Council because the U.S. has a veto power, just like China. So yeah. Nicaragua went to the General Assembly and asked the General Assembly, do you want the U.S. to comply with the decision of the ICJ?
Yeah.
All the countries of the world voted against the U.S. Only one country voted with the U.S., Israel. And that's why the U.S. suffered a huge reputational damage. And that is world opinion bearing on the U.S. So finally, the U.S. said, how much are you asking for us for damages? Let's not call it damages. Let's call it economic aid. We will give you economic aid, the same amount. And that is the compromise. In international law, you don't want to humiliate the country that lost, especially if it's a nuclear armed power. We don't want to humiliate China. We don't want to say, China, you cannot join our our service contracts. All the other countries of the world can join us, but not you. We cannot do that. Mm-mm. We don't want to humiliate.
No.
So it is not correct to say that we are relitigating. It's not relitigating. It's not correct to say that that we are bringing it to the Security Council, where China's veto power. We are bringing it, and money talks. Okay, let us count how much economic aid did all of our allies give to all the countries of the world: the U.S., UK, France, Germany, Japan, Australia. If you put together all the economic aid they gave to the developing countries, it's much, much more than what China gave. That's money talk. So if it comes down to that, we will be on top of it because our allies gave more to developing countries than China.
And following up on that, the dream, of course, and the hope for this arbitral award was to sort of use it as a beacon so that other countries will also stand alongside us in our fight. But do you think that having that world opinion, bringing the matter before the General Assembly, will sort of serve as a prerequisite for these countries to really stand alongside us, that maybe is something that they're also waiting for from us?
Yes, of course, because all of these countries have coasts also. And there are many, many more countries are small countries than big countries. So these small countries are worried that if China can use might to grab the EEZ of small countries, their big neighbors will do the same. So they want the law of the sea preserved. They don't want might is right. They want right is might. And that's why we can expect all these developing countries, the small coastal state, to vote for us, because they would be voting against themselves if they don't vote for us. They will be killing themselves also.
Okay. Finally, Justice Carpian, please indulge me while I have you here, because you and I both know it's hard to track you down, and it's it's hard to keep your schedule in check. Let's put on your other hat now, that of convener of Isambayan. Where are you in the process? After revealing your list of nominees, what's expected to happen now from the coalition?
Well, we have not closed the nominations because, you know, the candidates are worried that if they announce their candidates now, the trolls of Duterte will pounce on them. So they want to delay the announcement. And we understand that. So we are not closing the nominations. So we are still talking to all the nominees. Second, we are organizing chapters all over the country. We have over 40 now. We have many chapters abroad. And we are holding town hall meetings to discuss the issues. So we are active. We are organizing.
But just as a follow-up, Justice Carpio, if they are worthy of these nominations, why should they be afraid of mere trolls?
The trolls can destroy. Look at what they did to Leni Lobredo. They practically destroyed her. You know, the trolls, what they can do? Terrible. And of course, it requires a lot of resources to have an army of trolls, but the administration has a lot of resources. So you have to, this is really David versus Goliath in May 2022. We are fighting a Goliath here with all the resources, with an army of trolls who have mastered social media, and there is no ABS-CBN, and the newspapers are all afraid. So the battle will be in social media. There are not rallies because it's a pandemic now.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have to leave it at that because we've run out of time, but I do want to talk to you more about politics and the upcoming 2022 election some other time.
Anytime.
All right. You said that. Retired Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Antonio Carpio there. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. And we're going to take a break now. Still ahead, the Milwaukee Bucks even their NBA Finals series with the Phoenix Suns. Sports and business news when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. Happy morning. more news, the Philippine government studying whether to impose a travel ban to Malaysia and Thailand due to the threat of the Delta variant. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III says the Epidemiology Bureau may issue a recommendation to the interagency task force after a two-week evaluation. But Duque also claims the Philippines' healthcare system is prepared in case the Delta variant enters the community.
Yung pagbabantay natin sa ating mga borders, ito nakatulong na magkaroon tayo tinatawag na head start, no? Na dahil hindi pa naman na nagkakaroon ng community transmission or local Delta variant cases, no? Ay nagamit natin yung panahon na yon na palawigin at paunlarin yung ating health system's capacity. Mas marami tayong ICU beds, mas marami tayong isolation beds, mas marami tayong treatment monitoring facilities, yung isolation and quarantine facilities, no? Napalawig na natin lahat yan just in case na makapasok, at least handa tayo.
In business, China's economy grew more slowly than expected in the second quarter of the year. The country's GDP increased by 7.9% year-on-year in the April to June period, short of economists' expectations of an 8.1% growth. That's as slowing manufacturing activity, higher raw material costs, and new COVID-19 outbreaks weighed on China's recovery momentum. It's also significantly lower from the previous quarter's 18.3% expansion, when the annual growth rate was heavily skewed by the pandemic-induced slump. In sports, the NBA Finals all tied up after the Milwaukee Bucks completed a thrilling come-from-behind win in Game 4 against the Phoenix Suns. The Suns were ahead by 7 points with 8 minutes remaining, but the Bucks outscored them 27-14 the rest of the way to escape with a 109-103 victory. Milwaukee's win levels the best of seven series at 2 games apiece. Chris Middleton led the Bucks with 40 points to counter the game-high 42 points scored by Phoenix All-Star Devin Booker. The series now shifts to Phoenix for Game 5. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.